It's always a privilege. I love meeting new people, especially at our ladies' morning in the morning. And Paul McCo comes and she says, I've got to meet this beautiful lady, Sheila Maumela. She is one of our sponsors that was there from Virtuous and Dawny Lodge in Midrand. Sheila, hello. How are you doing?
Hey, Janine. Thank you so much for inviting me.
You know what? Sometimes you just connect with people immediately. I mean, that smile of yours could sell Colgate. So it was, to me, was such a pleasure to get to meet you. But let's start with you as a person. Now, if you had to introduce yourself to someone who's never met you before, like personality and family, who is Sheila Maumela?
So Sheila Maumela is I'd like to introduce myself as an ordinary girl who is from Soweto, grew up in an ordinary way, in an ordinary home. Most part of my life I was raised by a single parent because my dad passed on when I was like 15. And yeah, man, I just only owned my dreams. I had big dreams. I was an ordinary girl, still am, but having, you know, extraordinary dreams. I'm today a wife and a mother of three beautiful girls, and I'm a businesswoman, a training facilitator, an MC, and a speaker of note.
So we're not talking introvert here. People energize you.
Yes, no. So I am not necessarily an introvert. I do have a nature of my introversy in the sense that I do like my space, but when I'm in a space wherein there's people, I connect easy with them. I love people. I've forever been a kid that's active and flamboyant to some extent. So, you know, it just depends on who draws my energy. Some find me overwhelming. Some find me very, you know, to be a happy person.
Yeah.
So this has been happening. Some find me to be very strong for them. So, and I understand. And I catch it quick now that I'm grown. As a kid, I never understood those who could not receive my energy, that I'm overwhelming at times for them. Yeah, but now I'm older, I get it. And I can easily read the room, and I'm able to move a bit. Not necessarily lay off the person, but move a bit from, so that they can get to know me better.
But that is what a good communicator is. A good communicator, yes, adapts to whoever stands before them so that they can connect and influence and be effective, you know, in the best way. So what about Jesus? Because obviously that was a radio pulpit ladies' morning. Do you love him? How did you meet him? Tell me that story.
My journey with Jesus is interesting. So my family has been, or rather my maternal family has been from like your Seventh-day Adventist type of family. And my paternal side of the family has been Methodist, right? Okay. So growing up, I identified either or. When I'm with my grandparents on my maternal side, we are Seventh-day. When I'm with my family on my paternal side, we are Methodist. But at the age of 10 years, 9, going 10, we happened to have neighbors that are born-again Christians, and they used to go to church very early in the morning. The lady, may her soul rest in peace, Mom Joyce, she used to go to a particular church, and she was an intercessor, and she'd take her children with, and these children used to play with me. One time there was a kiddies program going on. It was like an evangelism program that was going on for kids that stand on the road with placards that have written different scriptures, you know, Jesus is Lord and nothing is impossible with Christ, and etc. And this particular morning they were going to a children's home in my local area, and my friend then invited me and said, look, we are going to evangelize, it's a kiddies evangelism thing that we're doing, and I'd like for you to join me. And I just asked my mom, and my mom wasn't really fussy about it, and she just prepared me this particular morning. Then I went with Mom Joyce and her daughters. You know, when I got there, it was so beautiful that, you know, kids get excited with snacks and that. But what I enjoyed the most was seeing children recite scriptures this particular morning, right? On their own, saying, each one of them saying their scriptures, and they're not looking at the Bible. And then they're explaining what that scripture means to them in particular.
Sure.
And because I was always a competitive kid, you know, I've always wanted to do better. I've always wanted to, you know, show that I know as well. I could not believe that I knew nothing. I had to be quiet, watch people actually, you know, my peers share the scriptures at that age. I came back, you know, not so mad necessarily, but it was a complaining heart in me saying, I cannot, it's impossible. I was doing poetry at school. I had already started my public speaking engagements at school. My mom was a very present mom who's active as well. I had started a kiddies, you know, attending kiddies like your kiddio on TV, just as a kid that visits there, you know, when mom, Gcina Mhlophe was sharing stories. And I'd be on TV programs, but I never knew scripture. I told my mom, no, those kids know scripture. There's no way. I have to be in the church next week so I can show the teacher that I know scripture, because each child would be given a scripture to read. And then you must come, you know, explain according to what you understand. You must do it with your mom, do it with a family member. It was a way of integrating scripture into a lifestyle. Then I came back the following Sunday, and then I never looked back. My mom then understood, you know, she never stopped me from going to that particular church. And since then, I grew up in that church, and I was alone for years. My mom was still going to her marital church, Methodist, and even changed to, you know, to the ZCC ministry for other reasons. But I was the only child who was going to a born-again Christian church. So at the age of 12, I then received Christ, because there was a service that was held for us, you know, who are preteens, you know, explained to us, because we always had, in each and every year in our church, we had a service held by just Sunday school or children's church, and then youth ministry in June. So it was a month whole that would have young people sharing. So around the month of May, it would be Sunday school sharing. Each Sunday, one child would be leading intercession, and another would be you know, sharing scripture or preaching. Mm-hmm. Another would be doing, you know, the motivational word just before the actual word, and children leading praise and worship. Our church was very integrating. It was very active. It was making sure that we not only read scripture and then not know what to do with it.
Yeah.
Then youth would take over the month of June. The dads, the fathers, it would be a month of the fathers preaching only in the month of July. And it would be the month of mom in August. The moms, the women in August, just like that. In October, it's the young adults. There was also a ministry called Senior Singles. So in the church that I grew up in, I blessed the Lord for Faith-Based Bible Church in Soweto. I was groomed well. So yeah, I'd say I met the Lord with understanding, a bit of understanding of what I was doing at the age of 12. And I started serving even then, pre-12 years, but at 12 years, we're not given a choice. Already you are given leadership roles. By the time you are 16, you are long gone. You're already organizing camps for youth. You're already active, you know, in actually assisting one of the pastors, because we had pastors for each department, like youth, Sunday school. Every other department had a pastor that you are reporting to, so that the main gentleman, the main pastor of the church, is not overwhelmed by all reports that are coming directly to him. So it was so lovely growing up there. And I'd say today I am teaching my children the same way. I share scripture with them, and each morning we do devotions. They share scripture back to me and tell me what they understand of the scripture because of what I learned.
You see, right there, I love interviews like this, because now the rest of the body listens to this and thinks to themselves, yes, we put the kids safely in a room there at the side, and then we keep them busy, because we sort of underestimate the fact that they've also got something to say, that the scripture can work through them, that the Holy Spirit, you know, doesn't have a junior Holy Spirit and a senior Holy Spirit, that God yes. uses everyone. It's so inspiring, because look at this. This is years later, because now I want to ask you, obviously, having been saved at an early age, then life still happens. Challenges, disillusionments, disappointments happen. Was that faith of yours, and especially the working of the word in you, was it ever challenged to the extent that you had to wonder by yourself, is what I believe true or not?
Yeah. Janine, can I tell you, in my teens, so my dad passed on at 15 years old. I'm now 18. And my mom now was a widow. She had to obviously fend for us. She was working, you know, even a better job at the time. 15, my mom had just graduated. She did public administration and paid for by her boss and stuff. you know, it's three of us. It's myself and my two brothers. It was tough because then my middle brother, the one who comes just after me, till today, he's a person who goes to jail and lives in the streets since the age of around 11. He's just never been a stable kid, you know? Mm. And because of, I think it's the instability that was happening just before my dad's death, because they were filing for divorce. So I'm just saying, I'm a child who had experienced happy days in marriage, in my parents' marriage, and then also chaotic seasons in my parents' marriage. By the time my dad passed on, the divorce was not finalized, and we had already been separated already. We were staying with my mom, hence I then was able to meet this family. So their separation also brought order into my life, in the sense that we were living elsewhere because the two parents were trying to divorce, obviously having their own disputes. But then I met the Lord during that season of chaos. And meeting the Lord during the season of chaos, in the sense that we are separated, it was bringing peace in, you know, for my mom's marriage or for my mom's sanity, it was bringing peace. But at the same time, it brought chaos to my brother's life, because he then obviously was not coping like I did, where I understood that mom and dad are no longer, they love each other, but they're no longer serving purpose in each other's life, because I believe marriage should be a marriage, you know, people need to be married in community of purpose, not in community of property.
Sure.
So in the case of my parents, at some point the marriage turned sour. For me, I understood and I was ready, because even when we went for a family counseling, I said to my mom, why stay? Because you're staying. Dad has changed a long time ago. You are also changing. You're not serving the purpose that you're supposed to serve. At the age of 13, I told my mom that. But my brothers did not take it well, especially the middle one, right? And post that, my mom raising us alone, my dad passed on. It was another story as well. We continue with life, raised by a widow. She stayed a good 5 years or so, not dating anyone else, you know, just us and her. And we got used to that. But in that trying, she also had to, you know, supplement salary. Now my dad is not contributing. He's no more. I mean, there's no help coming from there. Businesses, well, my dad had left the mining sector, joined the taxi industry, and had a chicken opeo, you know, in Soweto, we used to call it a chicken opeo. It's like a franchise of selling chicken, you know, bright chicken and stuff. And those also diminished because of a lot of things that are happening in his life. Obviously, it had to do with infidelity and that, right? So my mom lost a lot. But in that, we still had a roof and, you know, had a place to stay and had her as well. But still, she was grieving. It took a lot. Her going through the grieving process of not forgiving someone or trying to forgive someone who also left her, you know, who died in the process of them divorcing and end. We are also now having a mom who's not so present in that season. She's here, but she's not so there. It was a sad situation. I could sense it with me. I could feel it with me. And I'd say, God, you know, my faith in Christ and my attendance in church and just being busy in church helped me the most. But as a kid, I could not be there for my siblings. And I believe that, you know, a lifestyle that we had contributed to what my brother is today. You know, he could not articulate it like I could, you know, how it affected her. Because even with me, I mean, deciding to be married took me a very long time. I was not one who was sold for marriage, Janine. I just felt it's not worth it, you know? So I'd say it also affected me to that extent that I felt, no, I'd study, I would want to travel, you know, the world. Marriage is not a thing for me. You know, it took a prayerful intercessor, a woman that I'd never forget, her deciding from a woman's ministry, because in our church, we were expected as young girls to attend a woman's ministry, just serving maybe cakes and tea while they actually have their activities. So we were always involved in the activities. One day they were sharing, they were having a woman's talk and sharing about, you know, things that, you know, younger girls need to know when they grow up, especially regarding the ministry of marriage. And I stood up there and I just said, guys, most of you are just pretending in these marriages of yours. I know that it's not how it is. It doesn't look the way you guys present it. Because my experience of my mom's marriage, partly it was good. At some point it changed, but she still wanted to wear a mask to say she's still okay or happy while she was dying inside. Then this lady, I think, picked up the pain that I have. And mind you, it's now years later since my dad has passed on. She took it upon herself to actually sit me down and counsel me. Her words were, your mom's choices are not yours. She chose to stay in a toxic marriage for whatever years. At the same time, she hoped to salvage what was good of the marriage, because you yourself, Tando or Sheila, you are saying your mom's marriage was good because you grew up in a good marriage. At some point, it changed. Obviously, one of them changed, and eventually both of them would change because everyone tries to defend themselves for whatever that was happening at the time. You were a kid. You can't take up your mom's burdens and make them yours. You need to change the narrative in that if God has assigned you or has decided that you are also going to get married, you need to be ready for that so you can serve that ministry well.
I honor you for being a woman of God in ministry, because you still minister. I see that you do all kinds of things there at the lodge that you guys are busy with, that you're using the business that you have for ministry as well, that you've got influence in people's lives, and then you still give wherever you can, because that was the reason why I met you there at the ladies' morning. And I pray that you will have good soil to work with, that every opportunity that the Lord sets up for you, I mean the whole Ephesians 2:10, that the good works were prepared for you before the laying of the earth, that the good works that he's prepared for you, that it is absolutely to his honor, that you know how to do your good works in such a way that you shine a clear light to people, that those who see the light will honor the Father in heaven, that your life will always be a life of meaning that actually shows people the way like breadcrumbs to the heart of the Lord, that your life will always be like this. You see this big red arrow that flashes like that because of what you've been through, that what you have to say carries authority. And we want to bless you with that in the name of Jesus today. Okay.
Amen, Janine. Thank you so much. I didn't think we'd go that direction in our conversation. But yeah, man, God has been good. I don't want to lie. He has been good. Of course, I still have my downsides. Yeah. But I think I carry that well, in the sense that I never lie to self when I'm not okay, even to date. I never lie to self when I'm not okay.
Because you don't have to. Say that.
Yeah, because I don't have to. I'm able to say, you know what, God, we're not doing so well. Or friend, we're not doing so well. I'm able to say, Janine, I don't think I'm great. I don't see it happening. I'm not seeing what I want happening. And yeah, I take courage and such. This on its own for me, what your call, you know, our conversation now, you don't know what it does to me. It's stirring up a different dimension of faith in me. I've just said yesterday, I just wrote it as a status on Facebook and said it takes a different kind of dimension to get rid of barrenness in you know, in all dimensions, whether spiritual or even physical. It takes a stronger dimension of faith for you to get rid of any barrenness in one's life. And that's the word that came to my, dropped in my spirit yesterday. You know, and you know what stuck to me is the scripture that we were sharing with my children on Sunday evening, preparing for our scripture of the week, that you know, nothing is impossible if a person believes. And that scripture on its own, me giving it to my children because it popped up, so I just closed my Bible and opened it, closed my eyes and then opened any scripture that comes up, then we speak on it. I don't just go to a scripture that I want. I just close the Bible. They know that we close the Bible, then open it. Whichever scripture that is opened, then we talk about it. They are only 9, 6, and 4, but we engage in such a way that I want them to know that beyond me as their mom, or beyond me, beyond us as the parents, there's a God who lives. You know, my parents' life, Janine, taught me that you as a parent are really just a carrier, nothing more.
If you want more information about Sheila Maumela, go to Virtuous Ndoni Lodge there in Midrand and see how you can get involved.